it is always a pleasure to be with Days Gone By, and I wish you would listen to it, and I wish you would come and hear me in April and May at the Metropolitan Room, of course. But please listen to Days Gone By on UNC Radio. I know you will not forget. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom, everybody. I am feeling Gaulic today. I'm feeling Francophonious, my friends, because I am here in the neighborhood with a cabaret singer who is from France, and you can actually still hear it in her accent, her voice, and in the French songs she sings. Her name is Yvonne Constant. She was on Broadway in a show that won a Tony Award even called La Plume de ma Tante, and oh my gosh, she's going to be at the Metropolitan Room in Manhattan for several dates in April and May. Please welcome to... Wait, let me try to do this in French, okay? This is for Yvonne Constant. Bonjour, j'ai m'appelle Rabbi Sal, and bonjour to you, Yvonne Constant. How was that?
It was not too bad.
Oh, thank
actually.
You. Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
I understood. So what else can we ask for?
That's all we want in this world is to be understood. So,
but in general, yes. Yeah.
Now, how long have you been making yourself understood through song?
Well, actually, when I came from France, I was not a singer. It is here, because I was in a Broadway show, which was very successful, that everybody asked me to sing. And I had my first cabaret appearance at a cabaret which was called Number One Fifth Avenue. So right after the show, I went with the musical director of the show to sing.
Wait.
And that's at the time, they told me you have to have an act. And I had no idea what it meant to have an act. For me, I was singing songs. It still is singing song, as a matter of fact. Don't you agree with me?
If in a cabaret performance, it's probably 70% song, but you need 30% of that other stuff. And that other stuff is the act. No?
Yes, it is talking. And now I do, the last 8 years, I do lots of talking about politics things. Politics here, government here, government in France. I compare the attitude, yes, and I like that 30% that you talk about.
Well, do you do it for laughs, or are you making very serious points about governments and politics?
I make serious points, but with a smile.
Okay. What is an example of a quip of an idea that you are floating in your current cabaret show about French government and American government?
Well, the last show was called La Différence, and that I liked very much. It was comparing the attitude of American wives and French wives of politicians, of men who were unfaithful.
Ah, oui, oui.
Politicians unfaithful and the attitude of the wives, which was completely different.
Now, wait, how is it different? How would, not Mitterrand, but who's the, who is the French guy who was...
At the moment, he's not married, so that's not the one. But
oh.
At the time, yes, it was, I talked a lot about Mitterrand, who, of course, had a mistress and a daughter by this mistress.
Okay.
And the actual wife heard about that through the newspaper, a French magazine.
Oh, dear. So how did she react?
Fine. She liked the girl. The interesting thing is that during all the years when the little girl grew up, she was raised by her father and the mistress in an apartment.
Wait.
A rent paid by the government.
Oh. God damn it, I love the French. Oh, I think that's wonderful. So how does that differ, though, from how an American wife an American
well, I talked about Hillary Clinton.
Are we?
So it's not exactly that she accepted that she was betrayed at least once anyway. I don't know the others.
Oh, it was like 15 times.
Lewinsky, so.
Right.
And also Marianne Shriver with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So with her, when she heard he has, I think it was a son by the housekeeper, it was immediately out, goodbye.
Oh, I see. So sometimes the American women don't take it. They're stoic in front of the cameras, but when the doors close, out come the coat hangers and the knives and the, you know, the baseball bats. I understand that. I get that. But when you came to America in La Plume de ma Tante, which, by the way, is an absurdist title. It just means, what, my aunt's pen? Was that the name of it?
It is, yes, my aunt's pen, yes. It has nothing to do, of course, with the show or anything happening in the show.
So it was all, was the show sketch comedy? Is that the deal?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you remember some of the sketches that you played in and the characters?
Well, I played, as you just said, many different characters. I was a plain hostess. And whatever happens, I don't know, I grew up in the sky or something like that. It made me go up. Or I think the most famous sketch that American audiences even now may remember is four monks who are ringing bells. And one after the other, it became a song. And one by one, they were holding those big ropes and going up one by one. I remember it was the end of the first act, this. You know, when you say things like that, it doesn't sound funny. It's really very visual.
Of course. No, you had to be there, of course. But you were there. And what I want to know is, once you came to America, did you make the decision, oh, this is where I'm staying?
No, it went one by one. I was offered another Broadway show after that one, which was The Gay Life with Barbara Cook. And after that, I had a comedy. It was not a musical, with Soupy Sales.
Soupy Sales? Wait a minute. It was or it was not a comedy with Soupy Sales?
It was a comedy.
Oh, I hope so.
It was not a musical.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It was a play.
Wait, what play were you in with Soupy Sales?
Yeah, it was called Come Live With Me.
Oh, my God. How was it?
It was funny.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
Very funny.
And I have to ask
you. At the time, you know, even backstage, I mean, you cannot rehearse and not having fun when you are with Soupy Sales.
Oh, was he a good guy? Was he a fun guy off stage too?
Yes. You know, it was his personality to be fun, so.
Good. Well, it's nice to know that he was fun off camera,
yes,
and off stage,
yes,
as well. But what I also want to know is, you know, my good friend Dave, who hosts this radio program, he was just in Indiana, and he went to see Michael Feinstein performing with Barbara Cook. So
yes,
it's nice to know that she's still doing a thing. Do you have memories of working with Barbara Cook in The Gay Life? Gay, of course, meaning something very different back then. But
She was a young girl, and she was very thin. That's what I can tell you.
Well, yes.
Very thin and very discreet. So we did not. We did not talk so much. She was discreet. I also was in No Strings, the Richard Rogers show.
Oui, yes.
And then there was the beautiful black lady that...
Esther Roll? No, wait, who?
No.
Leslie Uggams?
No, before. Well, she's still around doing things, and she's still beautiful. Oh, God.
Diane Carroll. In No Strings, right.
Yes. And I remember saying to people, she's the most beautiful woman I have met.
Well.
So, yes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the gay, well, were you attracted to her? Or I don't know your proclivity. I don't know your, have you been married? Are you, what's your deal, as it were?
No. It was just objective.
Oh, okay.
That's a beautiful woman, a beautiful face.
Oui.
And, no, God knows I've been married 3 times by now.
Good Lord! Oy, well, all right, we have to deal with this. I'm sorry, I have. I know Barbara Cook may be discreet, but I'm not. So, what happened with Matt? Was marriage number one the typical thing? Is you were really young, you didn't know what you were doing, you stayed together a couple of years, and that was it?
Well, I can tell you that the producer of La Plume de ma Tante, when he heard I was going to marry the conductor of La Plume de ma Tante, he told me, oh, you're going to marry that 3-year-old boy?
Oh, there you go.
So here I go. So it lasted 4 years.
Okay.
So that's...
But amicably, you just weren't right for each other. You grew up a little...
Amicably. We still see one another a great deal today. He's been married another twice after I did. Another 2 times, really.
Now, how did you meet your second husband?
No, in fact, you know something? He was the second. The first one was French. It was in France. And I had a son, and I have a son.
Oh, Mazel Tov. That's wonderful. What does your son do?
My son, watch out, he's a journalist.
Oh, in France? Here or in France?
In France.
Oh, okay.
He's a epic about race horses.
Oh.
Journalist about sports, but horse racing.
It's kind of an Oscar Madison type, all right. That's great. So you've had...
Excellent, he's excellent. He gets prizes, yes.
Oh, wonderful. So that was from husband number two. Wait, the son
was French.
Oh, from the first guy, the French guy. Then the American director, the conductor guy.
Right.
And then who's behind door number three?
Number three was a producer of shows, but not shows for the great public. It was more for the industry, for conventions.
Okay.
But he never gave me a job. I mean, I was married to a producer who had shows with Liza Minnelli and Bob Hope, so I was not in that category.
Oh,
and I was French, don't forget. So it's not so, you know, it's not so easy to cast, even on Broadway. There was a time when on Broadway there were lots of shows which were French. You had French actresses, too. You had Irma Ladouce.
Oui, Madwoman of Shiloh, and
yes.
Except they got Danny Kaye to play that. I never understood that. But who else? The farces. I think
the farce.
Boeing had a French character in there somewhere.
But it was a French play.
Oh, that's right, Marc Camaletti. You're right. I forgot. Very good.
Yeah.
But now it's true. Now you really don't have much in the way, except what's her name. Who is she? The popular comedy writer person. Isn't she French?
I don't know of...
Lifetimes 3 and the one about the white painting. Oh, help me out. Wasn't that French art?
Oh, yes. In French art, yes, you have that. But I'm not into French art, unfortunately. I would like to have a part on Broadway, you know? I like to act... Probably more than to sing.
Well, was your last show that you've done on Broadway the Soupy Sales one? Were there any others after that?
No, I mean, I had 4. La Plume de ma Tante.
Wait.
The Gay Life, No Strings, Come Live With Me.
And then when that sort of, that avenue kind of dried up for you, then you went into strictly singing?
Well, it was, as I said, as of the first musical, La Plume de ma Tante, I started a cabaret show.
Ah. Okay. So it
went on, and that's what I did.
And you have been doing then, therefore, cabaret for 40, 50 years now.
Quite a few years.
Now, how do you adapt and grow and change a cabaret act when first, you know, you're 20-something years old to being, you know, 50, 60 years later?
I tell you what I did. To me, the most important was the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show.
Wait.
I did that 45 times, which is a record in New York City.
Wow, my goodness. At one point, a couple of years ago, Dave, the host of this program, interviewed Marilyn May, And she had sort of a similar Carson record thing there, too. She was on there like 3-4 dozen times. So it's kind of interesting to also be talking to another Carsonian, as it were.
But she did. She went to California after he finished here, and I did not.
Ah.
I stayed in New York. So that's why I say I had a record in New York City 45 times. And it was great. What can I say? It was great. It was like psychoanalysis. I never had been to, because he would ask me questions, and I would answer. He was not nosy the way that Merv Griffin was. I was a dozen times with Merv Griffin, and it was not the same thing. Griffin would ask you, are you with this one or that one, and what do you do, etc. Carson was more... It was funny. It was more unexpected with Carson.
Interesting questions. Now, let me ask. I will bet you remember your very first appearance on Carson. Can you walk us through that? Can you tell us what it was like that first time on Carson?
Well, I remember I was in the costume of No Strings, which is black tights.
Oh, wait.
High heels.
I'm sure Carson liked that, yes.
Yeah, and a turtleneck sweater. Long turtleneck sweater. So that's the way I appeared the first time.
Oui. And do you remember what you sang? Did you? I guess there were no songs in the show. So what did you sing on Carson that first time?
First time, I cannot tell you what I sang the first time.
Okay.
I know that in fact I was more into talking with Carson and maybe illustrating with a song. I know that I sang the part of the Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
Oui.
And I sang an Aznavour song.
A what song? I'm sorry, I missed that one.
Aznavour.
Charles Aznavour. Yes. Sorry, yes. Nice Jewish fellow, by the way.
And in fact, what I want to say is I introduced Charles Aznavour to Johnny Carson because he did not know him at all. He did not know that he was a big French star already.
Wow. So, and then eventually, I'm sure Aznavour was on Carson, and...
I don't think he was many times with him.
Oh.
But that first time we were together, I still have the photographs of the three together around a table, you know, a tablecloth, red and white tablecloth, the way that you have in French bistro.
Oui. Oh, that sounds just so... It sounds so television and yet also so French, which is marvelous.
It's true. And it was, you know, Carson's wit was really something.
Yeah, I mean, he was... there are issues about him as a person, as a human being, but on TV he had a certain style that no one can truly imitate.
Of course.
I mean, I tell a joke and it flops, and I try the Carson thing of just not saying anything for 5 seconds, and he would get huge laughs from the silence after the joke. Me, I just get...
Of course, that was his trademark.
Oui. But when I do it... Nothing. Well, you giggle. Thank you. Thank you for giggling a little bit. That was very nice of you.
One thing I can say that I remembered, once he asked me, do you sometimes forget your lyrics? And I said, I thought about it, and I said, no. So then I proceeded in singing the Aznavour song.
Oui.
And I forgot completely the second verse, completely. So I came back to sit down. And I said, thank you very much for asking me that question before singing a song. I had that in my mind, and I forgot it. And he said, why do you say it? Nobody
would have known. It's in French. Who would have...
But I said, I knew. So anyway, it was funny. You know, he made fun on anything. One day he made me do a commercial. And the commercial was to say that glass... would never break. So he said, would you demonstrate that? So I took that glass and I threw it very hard on the floor and it broke. And he said, thank you very much for the, what do you say, not the commercial, the people who advertise.
that's one sponsor not coming back.
Yes,
oh, well.
Sponsors, yes. That's it.
Now, one thing I want to also ask Yvonne Constant, who, by the way, just a reminder, she will be at the Metropolitan Room April 30th, May 7th, May 20th, and May 28th. Four opportunities to see her at the lovely Metropolitan Room in Manhattan. But we've been talking all about...
your lesson very well. You know the dates by heart. That's fantastic.
Oh, I have them tattooed on my inner eyelids. It's very important to me. But we've talked about television, we've talked about theater and cabaret, but you were in a couple of movies also, including this one they used to show on, like, afternoon TV in New York. It was... nobody sees it anymore, but it's Jackie Gleason's serious role where he plays a deaf mute. What was it, Guizot, was it called?
It was called Gigot.
Gigot. Oh, I get my G's all confused. I'm sorry.
Gigot. They called him Gigot. I don't know why. In France, it is a leg of lamb. Gigot is a leg of lamb.
Well, maybe it was because either he's a really big guy or like to eat the... Do you remember anything about working with Jackie Gleason?
He was very nice. He was a very nice man, and he told me to sing a song that would be right for me, and it was called The Land, My Father's Land, My Mother's Land. I remember I bought the song, and I never sang it.
Oh.
I don't know why. It should have been translated, because people would not understand what there was. But I have some, of course, obviously, have some songs being translated into English.
Sure.
Adaptated more than translated.
But...
Yes, he was a... You know, I had very good scenes with him. A dance with him. And I remember having the cover page of the art section of the Sunday Times.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was very good. And it was directed by Gene Kelly, let's not forget.
I didn't know that Gigot was directed by Gene Kelly?
Yes.
So what was he like as a director?
Frankly, I think he was attracted to another French girl.
Okay.
In the movie. I remember Brunette. But, you know, he was cordial.
Wait. I get that. You get that kind of feeling about him.
And
also...
I don't know much about him. You know, he indicated... I had no problem at all. No problem whatsoever.
Good. I'm not saying you had to have a problem. It's not like I'm looking for you to dish dirt on people. I would love funny stories or memories or anecdotes. I mean, granted, Jackie Gleason had his issues with alcohol and whatever. I don't know how he was on that movie.
No, I never even knew about that.
Great.
Oh, no.
So, also, another film, and I had no idea about, forgive me for not knowing this, but thank you for IMDb. You were in a movie, a Disney film.
Yes.
With Maurice Chevalier.
Yes.
And Dean Jones, the born-again Christian guy from Company.
Yvette Mimieux.
And Yvette Mimieux, so there are two French people in there, called Monkey Go Home.
She's not French. She has a French name, but she's not French.
Oh, is she Swiss or something?
No, I don't know. Just a remnant, maybe, of the past in her family. I don't know. But
probably from
American
Texas.
Star. She was, anyway.
So working with Chevalier, though, what was that like?
I tell you something, it was not so much working about Chevalier, it was working with monkeys. Because the movie was called Monkeys Go Home.
Oui, yes.
And that was really something. I was a bad woman in the movie, and they wanted to do something to get rid of me.
Oui.
And they wanted a bunch of chimpanzees running after me.
Yes,
first of all, they dressed up the chimpanzees like little babies with bonnets, nice white bonnets over their heads. And they were in bed with me. And I did not know it. And when I woke up, I said, oh my God, I screamed like you can imagine. You wake up. Chimpanzees dressed like babies. it as much as you can.
Oh, my God.
That was a good actress, a good pupil, and one absolutely did on my thigh.
Really?
On the side of my thigh. And, my God, he planted his teeth, and as the director had told me, I stood it as long as I could, but suddenly I said, oh, no, that's enough, I can't.
Did you have to get a shot?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. They took me to the hospital to get a shot. And on the way to the hospital, I noticed that there was a cemetery.
Oui.
And I said, well, that's very inconvenient. You don't make it at the hospital, you go right there.
Oh, my God, I'm so glad I asked.
I did not have to go to the hospital, but I kept that mark. I can tell you, at least 7 years.
Oh, my God.
The teeth of that animal. So that's my souvenir of monkeys for home.
Oh, my God. We're talking with Yvonne Constant about everything from Johnny Carson and Maurice Chevalier to monkeys and baby suits. Oh, this is so delightful. Oh, by the way, you mentioned Gene Kelly, of course, in that film. But he was also in a miniseries on TV that you did called Sins that had Joan Collins in it. Do you remember?
That's right. I was in a scene with Jean-Pierre Aumont and Joan Collins. Yes. Yeah. There were two French people. And Jean-Pierre Aumont was very nice. That's somebody who was very nice and came to hear me when I sang in New York in a place that does not exist anymore. It was called the Viennese Lantern.
No, I don't. Do not recall that particular spot. Yes.
So it was owned and directed by a Viennese impresario, Max Lowe. And he came there. I remember he was sitting at the bar and he heard my act. In fact, another good story.
Oh, oui.
You make my mind recover souvenirs that maybe were buried in my mind. In that same place, Charles Aznavour came to listen to me.
Oui.
And he was seated first row, right in front of me. And I noticed that they brought him a stick.
Oui.
And I was about to sing my song. And all during my song, I noticed that he was so polite that he did not start that stick. And I was thinking, oh, my God, his stick is going to be cold.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking, because he was so polite. And that's what I was not thinking of my lyrics, but of the stick being cold.
Well, that is a thing in cabaret. It's one thing to sort of have a little sip of a drink while you're watching someone sing.
Yes.
But in dinner theater, you're always feeling like, well, I'm hungry, but I don't want to disturb the actor. I want to make the people near me upset by hitting the fork on the plate. It's a weird thing. Can you give aspiring cabaret artists and singers some advice from all your years of doing cabaret and song in clubs?
To be themselves.
Oui.
Cabaret is not a place where you can be stiff. And the first thing should not be to remember your lyrics. The first thing should be yourself in the song, yourself in the talk. And cabaret is a place where you talk to the public, to the audience.
Oui.
I mean, it's not something that... It's not like in theater, of course. It's the opposite of theater.
Where you have the fourth wall pretty much all the way broken down. You're always interacting directly with the people in front of you.
And you have the public next to you. You look at them in their eyes, practically.
Oui. Can I also ask what might be one or two of your very favorite French songs and one or two of your very favorite American songs to sing, either in cabaret or just in general?
I should have been asked that in advance.
Because,
there are many American songs that I know, that I love. as well as French. It's like if you ask me what I sing, I don't even know what I sing, so it's ridiculous. But maybe French, I would say.
Oui.
The French version of My Way, which is called Comme d'habitude, which means as usual, and which is the opposite of the Paul Anka's lyric that he translated as My Way. The French guy had nothing going his way in the original. And I like that song in French.
Now, is the melody the same? It's just that the lyrics
absolutely,
are...
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. So now everything's crap. I'm going to die. I have a cancer. It's kind of, you know, all bad things, you know. I lost my wife.
But it's about love, about a man whose woman is not interested into him.
Oh, well. So yeah. So that's a good song for you. What's another French song that you love?
You ask me a tough one, I swear.
Okay. I asked the tough questions.
Of course, I sing the song from La Plume de ma Tante, which was called by Jimmy Durante. It was called One of Those Songs.
One of Those Songs, cool.
One of the songs, da 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 da.
It's funny, it sounds both very French and very Jimmy Durante in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Now, what about American, one or two American numbers?
Well, I like songs from musicals.
Ah.
What am I going to tell you? I could say No Strings, No Strings, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. That's a good song that I sing from time to time.
Oh, might I ask you, Ivan Constant, do you have any memories of Richard Rodgers?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Such as?
He called me to go to his office to ask me the part I got. But he was very pleasant, so pleasant that it was, the date included Christmas. And at that point, I had a little boy in Paris, and that's exactly what I told him. I said, I cannot accept the part, which of course I would love to have, but I have a little boy waiting for me in Paris for Christmas, and I cannot be in New York at that time. And he said, okay, here's what we are going to do. I'll give you the Christmas week, but enter the show right now, and I'll give you the Christmas week. And that was really an extraordinary gesture.
That was nice.
Fantastic, yes. I mean, understanding of my situation to be able to do that, you know, not everybody does something like that.
No, sir, certainly not. And that's a nice story. Any other nice stories about Richard Rodgers? Do you recall?
Well, he had written the song I sang in French, and it was already the first time that he wrote lyrics and music, and then he wrote that besides in French. It was called La La La.
Okay, well, I could write a French song called La 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 if those are the lyrics. La La La.
There's more to it, and it was also we had a duet in dance with Alvin Epstein. I don't know Alvin Epstein.
Yes, nice Jewish fella. Yes.
Yes, and playing nowadays, Chekhov. You know, it's a great actor.
Oh, he does Beckett. He does Chekhov. Yeah, he's still very active. True.
Yes. Yeah, and a good friend.
Oh, very good. Very. Yeah. Do you maintain a lot of friends from back from the 60s, 70s, 80s in the business?
Yes. Bernice Massey was in No Strings, but she's no longer in the business. But she had a very good part in No Strings. And she played in Man of La Mancha. And What Makes Sammy Run.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And she comes to hear me, yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Who else? Who are some other people that you're still in touch with?
Well, Steve Ross, but Steve Ross was not in any Broadway show.
But he's a cabaret. Oh, I love Steve Ross. He's wonderful.
Yeah. Yes, wonderful. And, somebody that I absolutely adore, No. Don't tell me. He was at 54 Below recently. I went to see him. Don't tell me. Because I'd like to say his name.
Is it piano? Is it when you say he plays classical music?
He plays the piano. He tells stories. He's like a madman. And he came to hear me. I always go to hear him.
All I can think of is Victor Borge, but he's playing...
That's a long time ago. Oui. Yes, I knew him, too. And I knew Bobby Short, too.
Oh, Bobby Short.
Very well. I'm trying to find... I've never seen something as ridiculous as that. Can you try to find it and incorporate that, his name, in the interview?
I
had a picture with him.
Oui.
Together at the beginning of my cabaret career. It was reviewed by...
Is it Tim Minchin, maybe?
I'm glad I remember my lyrics, because today it's not... I don't have the best... Oh, no. Well, it's too bad. What can I say?
Oh, okay. It's not Tim Minchin.
It's a shame. He's a Jewish guy.
Oh.
And he talks about that.
Oh, this is important. Now I really do want to find who this is.
Yes, I love him. He's the best one. I mean, he's the best one around. Another friend of mine, as I say, in the woman department, it's Joan...
Joan Crow? No.
Oh, no. Oh, that's the best one not to remember anything. I want you to know that I was in Follies too. We forget that.
Wait. Where did you do Follies? The Sondheim.
At the City Center.
Oh my God! So what song did you sing there?
Well, I sang the French song, which is called Follies.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that was great. That was really great because being so used to cabaret with just a piano player, I was wondering how I would feel. You know, City Center is a very big theater.
Oui, oui.
So I was wondering how I would feel with a big orchestra.
And was it amazing?
It was no difference to me. I was probably, I cannot say so scared, but so apprehensive that I did not pay attention. It was fantastic. It was fantastic because it's so much better to have a big orchestra than just one person, you know, playing the piano. So.
So okay. Well,
and that's... the other people in Follies.
Oui.
Victoria Clark.
Oui. From Titanic, yes.
Donna Murphy. That's a great person. Oh. Donna Murphy.
Oui. Oh, so all these wonderful people that you have worked with, Yvonne Constant, it's been just delightful talking to you. I am curious, though, that... I never asked at all about your earlier years in France. I mean, what were those... Were your parents encouraging as far as your...
Not really. No.
I guess not.
They were very kind, and they would let me do what I wanted to do. But I was also good in my studies in philosophy. And I could have been a philosophy teacher.
Oh.
And when came the time to choose, you know, at the 19 years of age, I remember saying... I don't want to spend my life behind a desk.
Well, okay, that's the thing that a lot of performers feel. They're like, nope, this is not for me. I got to be up there. I need the applause. Can I ask,
But I was in theater over there. That's all I did. As I said, I was not singing. I was in movies with Charles Boyer.
Oui.
For instance.
Wow. I didn't know. Yeah. So, you were in French movies already before you...
Yes.
Oh, I did not know. And also, I hate to ask, but do you have any... You were a little child, but do you have any memories of the war years?
Yes, a lot.
Such as,
well, my mother and my father My father was reluctant to leave Paris, but my mother wanted to protect us and to go to the south of France. And we had no car. Look, that would be extremely long. It's a different subject. I remember that we were in a bus, and we passed by, going the other way, a truck full of soldiers, and they had nothing to eat. And I remember my mother giving them our camembert, which is a French cheese.
Oh, well, that's... were they French soldiers?
It was solidarity.
Or? Right. So, but do you remember anything towards the end of the last couple of years of the war when you would have been, I don't know, about 8, 9, 10 years old?
Probably 8. Probably. That too I haven't analyzed. But what I know is that it was really, really a great day. And at that I would like to say a great day. When the Americans disembarked. And I remember my mother and I being at the window with the flags, the American flags and the French flags, and we were so happy. And I remember being such a little girl, and to me now it's amazing that I said, oh, the thing that I wish the most is peace. To come, to stay.
Well, it hasn't exactly stayed, but at least...
well, you know.
But, I didn't mean to get on such a sort of a downer topic, but there's so much to your life, Yvan Constant.
It's true. By the way, the name of the singer, which I still don't know, pianist, it was in the New York Observer by Rex Reed, in 2003, it was at the beginning of my singing career, I mean cabaret, and he was with me on the picture. Isn't it something that I cannot find that picture? I'm looking for it as I'm talking to you.
Well, now we all know. Maybe it'll be if we Google the Observer and we would find your thing from...
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Let me try to do this in just before we have to go. But let me see if I can get this done. Hold on. Let's see. Yvan Constant, 2003, Observer, Reed. Let's see. Miscellanea.
New York Observer, 2003.
Oh, Rex Reed called you a French souffle that never falls.
Yes.
But it doesn't have that exact, that's just part of your own website, which, by the way, we should tell people, is yvonconstant.com. YVONNECONSTANT, like constant. yvonconstant.com. I'm not going to find this right now, unfortunately, but I do want to thank you for being such a delight and so much fun to talk to.
It was fun for me, so I'm happy that you gave me that opportunity.
Oh, it's just double on my ending. Everybody go see Yvan Constant at the Metropolitan Room April 30th, May 7th, May 20th, and May 28th. And who knows? God willing, you'll be back for many more times even than that. But go see her. She's delightful, as you have heard. And I wish you, as you said, since you believe so much in peace, I wish you shalom.
Yes. So do I. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Try to find the name of my best entertainer. Okay, thank you very much, and shalom.